Hello and welcome to season 3 of Mum's Work and Chaos. We all know the saying, it takes a village to raise a child, but where is that village? Well, I started this podcast to help you find yours, and I'm joined by some amazing guests this season, talking about subjects such as fast fashion, menopause, sex education, and teenage behaviour, just to name a few. So join me this season, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of Mum's Work and Chaos. Today I am joined by the marvellous Jordan and Jason from Parenting Tools podcast. I'm so excited to have you guys here with me today. It's not very often I get another podcast join me on my podcast. And also, you'll be very pleased to know that you're only the second men I have had on the podcast. It's very female heavy over here. So you are very welcome. And I'm sure my audience will be very refreshed to have you guys join me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No worries. I'm glad we've finally been able to find the time to fit this in, because there have been a lot of messages back and forth on Instagram, haven't there?
So
but we got there in the
forth.
End.
Trying to ask a parent for some spare time. When are you next free?
But it's always the way, isn't it? Like, you know, we see all these memes on and jokey reels on Instagram of mums trying to organise their diaries and comparing themselves to dads, who can just go, oh, golf on a Tuesday. Yes, let's do that. But it's not that way, really, is it? Because, you know, you guys have a very strict schedule as well. And so, yeah, trying to fit this in has been fun. But we're here. And
that strict schedule of all that golfing.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of back and forth, but here we are.
Yeah, and hot off. You've just done your IKEA show as well, which was very exciting.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You forgot about it. You were just on the stage in IKEA.
It says, yeah. But again, like, just being a parent, like, last week feels like last year. Mm. Like, so much stuff happens. But yeah, we just did our first live show.
First live show.
Inside an IKEA. That was pretty cool.
That's awesome. I was just like, how do I get one? I need to ask you advice after this. But yeah, no, it's awesome. That's amazing.
It was good fun. We reached out to IKEA mainly because there's lots of chairs there. we just said, you know, we love coming to the store. It's a rainy day activity in my house, going to IKEA.
Yeah.
And we said, we love coming, and we know that other families love coming, would love to do something. And they said, yeah. So it was great.
But do you know what? For us, it's the same. We love a little trip to IKEA. It's like, you know, that what is it? Kidzania, I think it is, where it's like little village for kids to play in. They get to pretend to be policemen and all that sort of stuff. Except they play house in all the different rooms, and you're constantly shouting, no, don't touch that, please don't jump off the sofa, no, Galaxy Units aren't for climbing on.
It's not a real toilet.
And then you feed them really cheap meatballs. Exactly, it's not a real toilet, I love that. Feed them really cheap meatballs, and then you leave with a 20-pound giant tiger. Yeah. That's the way it works, isn't it?
They are the best. Yeah.
You walk through, you make the mistake of walking through the kids section, and next thing you know, you've got half an underwater paradise with you. Whale, a dolphin, something else.
No, it was good, and it was really nice to have audience members that we've not met before in the room.
Yeah.
'Cause you feel like, and you'll know this, you know, doing a podcast and engaging with your listeners, you get to do life with people through different stages. We've had people message us saying, thinking about, you know, starting to try having kids, came across the podcast, and then they've messaged us saying we're pregnant, then they've messaged us saying the baby's here.
Wow.
So to kind of meet some listeners was brilliant.
No, it's so cool, isn't it? And like, I guess my similar way of finding this out has been reaching out to people to be on the podcast as well. So one of
I recently did a podcast for this series with a lady who I've been following for a while, who was really into like sustainability and shopping, you know, in a really sustainable kind of way, which was great. And I reached out to her to be on the podcast, and she was like, "You're kidding." And I was like, "No, I really want you to come on the podcast. I love your message. I love what you talk about." She was like, "I listen to your podcast. I'd really want to." Cool. "Yes, of course I'll come on." And I was like, "Oh my God, you actually listen." And then it turned out she was like one of the first people to ever leave me a review on Spotify. I was like, "Oh my God, this is so cool."
That's lovely.
That's amazing.
So we were both fangirling each other. It was really funny. She was a listener who left me a review, and I've just been stalking her for ages on Instagram, trying to get the courage up to talk to her.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, you know, you've had some really high profile guests on your podcast as well, and it's like, it's getting to that point, isn't it, where you're like, "I've been following this person for a while, I really like what they're talking about. Now how do I reach out without sounding like a stalker?"
Yeah, for sure. We had Nigel on from the Baby Club on CBeebies.
Yes.
And like he was like a godsend for us during lockdown.
Yeah.
And to be just having these conversations with him, like direct one-to-one, was it, and getting to say, you know, "Thank you for what you did."
Yeah.
Was so nice. Yeah, that was cool. We've had some good guests.
Yeah, it was quite funny because after we stopped recording, we actually then had like our own one-to-one counseling session. Like, "Tell me all your secrets. Like, tell me what to do." Yeah.
Do I also need a giant bear? Yes. And do I have to find a bag to put random things in? Is this my life now? Constant circle time. No, we during lockdown, that was a fun one. I've got three girls as well. Just girls, so it's a lot in my house. We've got a 7-year-old who'll be 8 in April, a 3-year-old who's also going to be 4 in April. That's a whole different story. And then I've also got one who's just turned 2, who basically has no fear and will do anything. So as we were talking previous to pressing record, I was saying, like, I caught her trying to jump off the sofa earlier, just as if she could fly. She literally has no fear whatsoever. She's the crazy one. She's the only one who has ever drawn on a wall. and she still continues this artistry every time she sees a white wall, which is like my entire house right now. She just paints, she'll just draw on them. My nearly 4-year-old was born just as we went into lockdown. So we went down into lockdown on, like, what was it? It was like just before Mother's Day in March, wasn't it? Horrible. And then she was born on the 20th of April. And so, like, it was that point where we were like a month into lockdown, and I'm walking into to go into the labour ward. My husband is parked in the car park. My mum is at my house with my eldest. They won't let him in until I've been triaged, which was just insane. And so, like, I'm walking in, and then they said to me while I was on the phone to the midwives, they were like, "The secret password is spring." And I was like, why on earth do I need a secret password? And they were like, "We're not admitting anyone unless they know the password." And I was like, like, I'm in labor, now I've got to remember another thing. So I'm like walking down the corridor with this, you know, the folder of all my cack, having contractions. I stopped and I looked at this security guard, and I'm like bracing myself against the wall. I just went, "Spring!" Now, and I made it up. And then literally he got there. I think by the time I'd been triaged, they were quite worried I was actually going to have the baby in the lift on the way to the labour ward. They weren't sure we were going to get there in time. And he literally got there. I think he held my hand for about 5 minutes and she was out. It was ridiculous. And then the last one, as I said, she has no fear. She is super speedy. I went into labour and she was born within an hour. We didn't make it to the hospital. She was born at home, and the paramedics then told me after she was born that the paracetamol I had taken probably hadn't had the chance to kick in just yet. I was like, are you sure? So definitely more impressed with her than with me. I didn't handle it very well.
So you gave birth at home?
Yeah.
Did your carpet suffer, or was it pretty clean?
Yes, my carpet suffered. Yes. Really? But it was more the bed. Yeah. My sister-in-law very graciously sourced us a new mattress, and then my husband's cousin delivered it the same day so that we had a fresh bed to
Yeah, you got to be quick with those.
Is that because you were just shouting spring?
That was it. That was where I went wrong. No, he was on the phone to the paramedics, and they were like, she'll be fine. We'll get an ambulance out to you. And he was like, no, I can see the head. And they were like, right, okay, she needs to push, and you need to get some towels.
Towels, that would be my
yeah. So he runs off to the airing cupboard to go grab these towels. I've never seen anyone look so like a deer caught in headlights. He was just like, I don't know what I'm doing, holding this bundle of towels. And then I think the lady had told him to put the towels over me or something. No, he was just throwing towels at me.
Oh man, I would be petrified, doing that at home.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's from this huge family as well. And since then, a couple of his cousins have had babies as well. And so there was a little joke going around that if the family needed a midwife, we knew where to go. So he's not done well out of it, unfortunately. People are now just taking the piss out of him on the family WhatsApp, saying, oh, Syl, it's all right, we've got a midwife. Syl, you're okay, you can do this, can't you? You know, if we get into some trouble, we'll just call you, right?
Get the towels.
So, yeah, you know what to do.
Get the towels.
Get the towels, throw them at your wife, it'll all be okay. But we did lockdown, and my eldest was just started in reception as well that September. And so then we went into lockdown over that Christmas, didn't we, again, our second lockdown. And so I was trying to homeschool her, and then I had the baby who had been born at the beginning of lockdown was now walking and wrecking everything. So I was homeschooling one while the other was trying to destroy everything. So that was a fun time. It was just like, let's pack everyone up and get them out of the house. So we did a lot of forest school during lockdown.
We straddled lockdown with our kids. So one was born 7 months before we went in. Mm. One was born 2 years later, kind of just as everything eased and I could be in there and stuff. But you were thick of it, weren't you?
Yeah, similar to you. So my daughter was born in June in the lockdown.
Yeah.
She was very early. So she was 28 weeks, and no one expected it. No doctors, nurses. She was literally born in A&E. And so we were then in the NICU for 3 months, but in COVID. So we couldn't be there together, literally tag teaming. And then finally, when she came out again, we kept coming in and out of lockdowns, which when she was out of hospital, I quite enjoyed it. It was quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, bit of a shocking experience. Not what we'd prepared for.
No, when I had my eldest, that was 2016, and it was everyone just descended on the house, and I felt like rubbish. I just pushed a child out, and literally we had tons of visitors, and God bless them. We had a lot of friends at church who came to come and see the baby and say hello and bring cake. And that was fabulous. But equally, it was a lot of people all at once and a brand new baby. And me, I didn't grow up around kids, so I had no clue what I was doing. It was just survival mode, right? And so having Indy during lockdown was actually quite nice, because I could bring her home. And I didn't have to say no to people coming to visit. They just couldn't come. So I got to spend all this time with my brand new baby. And I was like, oh, this is quite nice. I get to make, and my husband couldn't go anywhere either. So when my eldest was born, he was working in retail. So he had like the 2 weeks off and then he was off again. That was it. He was off back to work. Whereas when Indy was born, he'd started a job where he was working remotely from home. And so it meant that I got lots of cups of tea and I got quite well looked after and no one came to visit and it was lovely. and then we got pregnant again, and that was a real surprise. And I just started working again, and I just started freelance marketing again. And it was going so well, I hired my first member of staff, and literally the day I hired her, I felt really funny. And Sil was like, oh, well, we've got a pregnancy test in the cupboard. Just take that and see, you know. It was a laugh. He said it as a joke. But me being paranoid, I took it because I just felt really weird. Like I'd been sucking pennies. Everything was wrong. Tasted metal in my mouth. I felt awful. And it came back positive. And I was just like, why? Why now? Everything's good. Why now? And honestly, Hannah is the most joyful, hilarious, funny, naughty, cheeky, surprising little girl who also likes to jump off of large pieces of furniture and pretend that she's flying. And I just look at her and I think, okay, fair enough. You were meant to be here. You're allowed. I'll let this one slide, but no more. I can't do it. It's so hard juggling it all, isn't it? I mean, you guys both have two, right?
So I've got one and Jordan's got two.
Oh, you've got one. But it's still like, even one's hard. Like you realise quite quickly that you now have to ask your parents if you're allowed out again. And all of that sort of stuff is like, your freedom's suddenly gone. And although you've got this lovely little person to look after, it's not easy, is it? Like, especially the toddler years when they just like to say no to everything, and trying to leave the house with a coat on is just impossible.
Yeah. No, there's a lot. I always use the term like spinning plates. There's just so much going on. I think from my point of view as a dad, trying to be super aware of what my wife needs in terms of like social interaction, going out, all that kind of stuff. And when we had our second, I was so mindful just to be like, if you need to go out, you go out, and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like maybe I took on a bit too much because I was going back to work. Mm. We had a newborn that wasn't sleeping through. We had a toddler that started waking up at 5. And then I'd finish work and just go, right, you go out now and I'll do everything in the evening. And it got to a point where I was like, this is a bad idea. I can't do it all. Very different experience to the first, which was lockdown. And we just, what we did in lockdown, we put our two sofas together in the middle of the room. We called it the isolation station. And we just chilled, the three of us. It was incredible. But then second time around, I was like, right, you're going to have a proper maternity leave, because that you didn't have that. You go to coffee shops, you do what you want to do. And I think that's good that men and dads are thinking more along those lines of like, you go out. But also there is that kind of thing of, you need to consider yourself sometimes as well and take some time for yourself. And as we know, like, try to organize this, that time is hard to come by sometimes. So yeah, having set things in that you do every week, like for me it's five a side, you know, playing football once a week for an hour is super beneficial.
That's the thing though, isn't it? Like, I don't think I found, like, when I went to baby groups and stuff with my first, I actually found that really stressful. And so although like I had a proper maternity leave with her, I was off for 9 months, I did the whole thing, I actually like really missed working. And I really miss that social interaction that came with that. And although baby groups have been great and I'd met some ladies and stuff, it felt very cliquey, and it felt very sort of like there was a lot of competition around how big your baby was, whether they were walking, whether they were talking, whether you breastfed, whether you bottle fed, all that sort of stuff, whether you fed them organically, whether you, you know, did baby-led weaning and all that sort of stuff, or whether you like homemade your purees rather than using those silly pouches and all of this sort of stuff. But it was just like, I just want a place with no judgment where everyone's just there to get along. And it just felt like very cliquey and very judgy, all of those sorts of groups. And so I quickly found the other ladies that really didn't give two hoots. And we were a right old mix of people. We were some breastfed, some bottle fed, some baby led weaned, some gave their kids cake. Like, you know, it was just like, it was like that sort of group. And that was great. But we all, because it was baby groups, we all lived all over the place. And we sort of like, you know, you got like one group, and so everyone would travel in to these different groups. And so when our kids all started school and stuff, we kind of like lost contact and everything. And I think lockdown was quite hard, because although my eldest had started school, I didn't have that like support group anymore, because everyone in that baby group's kids had started school, and we'd all sort of like lost contact a bit. But then we hadn't had a chance to make friends with the other parents at school yet. And so we didn't have that. And then you couldn't see your family or anyone else anyway. So it was just like, you were just sort of like on your own, really. And I found lockdown a bit more tricky, but I quite liked the isolation. As I said, I couldn't do baby groups with the second one. And I didn't really feel too bad about that, because we'd do the baby club on CBeebies and what's in the bag and all that stuff. And I had my eldest at home, and so she used to keep her occupied as well and entertain us with shows that she'd made up, and we'd be learning to read anyway, and that kept everyone occupied. And so it wasn't until like my eldest was like in year one that I really made friends with mums at school. And so like I've got this really good group of mum friends. Like, they're just brilliant. We're all so different, but we all like bring something to the table, you know. And we have that sort of ritual as well. So you with your five aside, we have to have breakfast like at least twice a month on a Tuesday. We just drop the kids to school and we go straight to the harvester, and that's it. And we're away and we just have a lovely breakfast and we just moan about stuff and talk about how much we really miss like going out. And I like every now and again, we'll book at mum's night out and we'll just go. Like we went to an all ladies garage night at the Clapham Grand. It was brilliant. We were dancing. There was a lot of very loud singing and everyone was dressed in sequins and it was just fabulous. The next day, we were all at school just like, you know, sunglasses on. Like, we were out way past bedtime. This was not good. Breakfast, yes, let's go for breakfast. you just need to blow off steam, don't you, sometimes? And like, yeah, I think... Honestly, five aside sounds a bit like our breakfasts. It's just like that cathartic thing though, isn't it? Like, you're getting out there running around a football pitch with your mates, whereas we're all eating a full English and having a moan.
I wish there was bacon, that's to be honest.
It's just like, you just need to make sure, like, as parents, like, you look after yourself as well, don't you? Like, my experience was very different to most people's. Like, my wife had pretty bad like postnatal depression during lockdown as well.
Yeah.
So I'd actually quit my job and I was doing most of the childcare and stuff like that. By the time we came out of lockdown, both me and my wife were going back to work. And so we'd missed out on that whole weird period. I mean, in a weird way, it was quite nice because we were all together. But we both chose to go back to work like like 4 days a week rather than five. And so like I have my daughter 1 day a week and then she has one. And like having taken my daughter to like all the baby groups, often being the only man is like, yeah. it's not the best place to make friends. It's you get good comments of like, oh, babysitting or like that sort of stuff.
Oh, I hate all of that. And so does my husband. He hates it when people say, oh, are you babysitting? He's like, no, I'm it's being my child. A dad.
I'm looking after my child.
I'm not getting paid.
That's one of the reasons why I think we started our podcast, because especially like with guys, there's not many outlets to talk about parenting. And if you really want to get involved, and like, which like men absolutely need to be more involved, there's just not many avenues where you can vent of like, is it normal that sometimes I just want to punch a child? Like, not my child, other people's children.
Yes, it's very normal.
Yeah. But just having those outlets, like, you don't realize how important they are. Otherwise you will punch a child.
You get banned from the soft play.
But like we when my eldest was like in year one, we hadn't quite got over the whole class party yet. And so every child was always invited to every party for a while, because like you do that in reception so that you can find your clique of friends, right? You find the mum friends where, you know, you can see the anxious ones who hang around the outside of the soft play. You don't want to hang out with them. You see the ones who are right over the back who are just having a natter. You don't really want to hang out with them either, because they really don't give two hoots, and their kid's probably the one who's punching your kid, right? You want to be somewhere in the middle with the people who really don't care. If you say something incredibly weird, they just laugh and get on with it anyway. In my case, it's probably some sort of weird sci-fi reference, possibly Doctor Who, possibly Star Trek, maybe Star Wars, if I'm really feeling it. But come up with something really a bit strange and they're fine with it, you know. But there's always one kid or two at every class party who you just think, you see them running around a soft play and just think, why? Yes, I could probably punch you.
But it's
finding
there,
that one mum who's also hanging around the middle, whose kid is the naughty kid, who goes, I wouldn't blame you if you did hit him. It's okay.
Yeah.
Please do.
If that kid's not there, it's your kid.
Oh, it's worse when it's your kid, isn't it? It's horrible.
Oh my God. Do you know what? We did, did two soft play parties for my daughter. We did one at school, one when she was at nursery. And the one when she was at nursery, she cried because her best friend went and made a new friend at the soft play. She cried for the whole second half of her party. It's just the worst thing, trying to like deal with your kid. It's like, it's your birthday party, please go and enjoy yourself. And you're like, no, Miyako's made a new friend. I can't deal with this anymore. It's like, oh no. It's so hard though. You can't, I just feel like you can't win sometimes. And I feel like as well, especially like as dads, like you're either being judged for not doing enough, like not helping out at home, or, you know, not knowing where the laundry basket is, and your wife having to be your mum kind of thing. Or you get like the dads who sort of expect it to be done for them, seeing you out and actually parenting and being there for your wife, there for your kid dad, and them saying, giving you the little jokey remarks of, you're babysitting today and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, it's tricky, isn't it? Like, you know, you're doing what you're meant to be doing. You're helping, you know, you're being an equitable parent. Yeah. And I think that's what I really like when I listen to your podcast, is like, you know, you guys talk about the realities of your children, you know, but also like, what it's like to actually like be there, be a responsible parent and partner and everything as well. And I think you guys are really leading the way when it comes to all of that stuff as well. And it's really refreshing and nice to listen to. But I just love listening to you guys. Like I was listening to your IKEA show earlier as well, and I couldn't stop laughing. Honestly, couldn't stop laughing.
That's lovely. Thank you. That's really nice. I think we say it all the time, you know, we don't offer any sort of advice. We try not to. it would be terrible, but we're just sharing our experience of doing our best. Something you just said there about like you can't win. We actually just recorded our episode this week, like now. And we were talking about some Instagram comments we got. And we're just through some of the meaner comments we got and kind of clapping back a little bit. But we were saying we got a lot of, you know, we're talking about co-sleeping and how Jason is saying that now 3 years of co-sleeping, he wants to stop that so he can have his bed back. And
yeah, been there.
Just so many people going, says the man, or why do men feel like they can talk about this?
Yeah.
And you see this a lot.
Because it's your bed too, first of all.
Exactly. we said that. It's like, well, I sleep in it as well. But I said, if it was our wives talking about this, saying, you know, we feel like this is a bit hard on us, all the comments would be going, well, where's your husband? Why isn't he doing anything?
Yeah.
But then when we do speak up and say stuff, it's why are you talking? So yeah, you can't no. win. Yeah, we're just doing our best and we're just documenting the journey.
I feel like I've been blessed by not having, I've had a few snarky comments, but nothing major yet. Do I know I've hit the big time when they start rolling in? I don't know, but
Well, they came pretty early.
Yeah. We didn't have many followers when they started coming.
So those bloody sexist women, honestly, you think they'd leave you alone. No, it's just like, that's it though. Yeah. You can't win. And like, I think that was part of what my podcast was born out of as well, was how me and my sister were talking about how you can't win. Like when it comes to all of the stuff you're supposed to do as a mum, you know, like, you should breastfeed your child, but not in public. No one needs to see that. You know, you should feed your baby organic, but organic pouches, and you should strain it and do it all at home. And you should never have to, you should never leave the house unless you got, you know, some sort of homemade meal for your child. And it was like, I feed my kid Heinz biscuits. Is that okay?
You know, Ella's pouches. Come on.
Oh yeah. Go and love Ella's kitchen. Come on. No, I actually had really bad anxiety when I started to go out with my eldest because I chose to breastfeed her. Tried and it worked, and it was all going well, like a little too well. She was very chunky. And it was all going great, but I was petrified to leave the house for like the first 3 months because I was worried about her crying and needing to feed and feeding her in public. And I kept seeing all these people on Instagram saying, oh, I fed my daughter in public and this old man told me off in the coffee shop and made me feel embarrassed and awful and horrible. And so I got myself all worked up into this state of, oh, that's going to happen to me. Never did. Never happened to me. But regardless, you bottle feed your kid, you get judged for that as well. I fed her for a whole year, and I got told off by one mum at a group who was like, oh, your kid's like nearly a year old, when are you going to stop? And I was like, well, when we stop.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm doing the best I can. Like, she wouldn't take a bottle. I tried every single bottle known to man and God. Everyone had supplied me with bottle ideas, right? And it even got to the point where I imported a bottle that looked like a boob all the way from Australia So that she'd take a flipping bottle and it didn't work. I not only breastfed that child, I expressed to high heaven so that she would drink some milk when I was not there, because I started working when she was 9 months old. I was doing 3 days a week and she just wouldn't drink. And I'd literally get home from work and she'd be like, oh, it'd be like this whole massive crying, screaming thing. She'd be like frantic for me because I just walked through the door. I just walked through the door. I was so tired and knackered. And then I'd have this baby just thrown at me and I'd have to sit there for the next half an hour while she had her milk. It was just exhausting. But yeah, I did it all right. She didn't have a dummy. She only fed, she was only breastfed. I baby-led weaned. I'd done it all right. She's the fussiest eater. Right, she won't eat a vegetable unless it's crunchy. She likes anything beige and bland and boring. Yeah, my middle one, who I cut off at 6 months because she bit me multiple times.
Ooh.
I didn't give her the option. I was like, you are having a dummy. As soon as she was born, I was like, you're having a dummy, you're gonna take a bottle. I will feed you, but you will also have a bottle. And at 6 months, she bit me multiple times. I was like, nope, that's it. You're cut off. You're on the bottle. She was exclusively weaned on pouches because I couldn't be arsed. I had enough going on. I was working full time. It was lockdown. I was homeschooling. I didn't have time to mush things and make sure there was no seasoning in food anymore. It was you will eat the easiest option. And she learnt to feed herself pouches because I wasn't fast enough. I was such a bad mum. You know, I'd done it all wrong this time, yet she was my best sleeper. She, the eldest, co-slept with us because I was feeding her in the night. And so it was just easy. It was like, pick her up. Oh, look, we've all gone back to sleep again. You know, it's just the way it worked with us. And it got to the point where I was pregnant with Indy and we had to talk to her because she was like three, so she was big, you know, she's a toddler, right? And I had to sit down with her and explain that I was getting bigger. I was growing another person. And so technically there were already three people in the bed.
We're all getting bigger.
She had to sleep in her own bed. And she was like, no. And then I had to have another word with her because it got to the point where she wanted me to hold her hand to go to sleep every night.
Yep. Been there.
So I was sat in this rocking chair. She was in a canopy bed as well. And so falling asleep in this rocking chair with my arm going dead, stuck with this little hand. And every time, you know, when you're like trying to sneak out and they, mom, mom, come back, mom. I'm still awake. I'm like, no, you're not. It's 10 past nine. I should be asleep on the sofa now. You're not still awake. It's so difficult. So I had to sit there and say to her, you know, you're going to be four soon. Four. Mummy can't hold your hand anymore. It's like an unwritten rule. When you turn four, you can't hold mummy's hand anymore when you go to sleep. Your sister will be here soon. She's going to be born. I'm not going to be able to do it all. I can't hold your hand to sleep and look after a baby. And she was like, okay, mummy. And literally, as soon as her sister was born, the hand holding stopped.
Well,
I was just like, whoa.
There you go. That's what you need to do.
Such a relief. That's got to have another baby, clearly.
Get the co-sleeping to stop.
Yeah.
We'll try the negotiation first.
Not quite there yet, huh? Oh no, it's hard though. Like you do it in the way that works for you, mm-hmm. And then you, at some point, things have to stop, and trying to get that to happen, it's not easy. I feel your pain from co-sleeping. Honestly, I do.
We say that all the time as well. Like, you've just got to do what works for you. And like, that changes like week to week, that changes. Yeah. And I absolutely, you get judgment from anywhere, from any decision. But
yeah,
as long as it's best for you, like your kid, like you just do it. So,
but even like, I don't think I was prepared for the opinions from family as well. Like, God bless my mother-in-law. I love her to pieces. Honestly, I do. But
when you have to start with that.
Oh, when you preface it.
No, it's just we're very laid back, and she's not so laid back. And so, like, you know, when your kid's playing and they fall over, and they look to you, especially when they're a toddler, they sort of like look to you for how they should react when these things happen. And so my husband and I sort of took the stance of, we're going to be really chill about this. And so if they fall over, we're just going to go, yeah, you're okay, it's all good, we're going to get up and carry on. And so all of them, we've been like that, and all of them, they've just been hardcore. They fall over, they get up, they get go on, you know, they don't cry. Unless it's really bad or they're knackered, you know, they just sort of get on with it. And so my eldest was like running down the corridor at my in-law's house, and she falls over, and you hear this thump of a child falling over. And my husband and I both sat there on the sofa watching the telly. Joys of Saturday night TV, right? And we both heard the thump. We both know it's our child that's fallen over, because they're the only one in tights on a laminate floor. It's bound to be our child, right? And there was no tears. No one cried. Everything was fine. But my mother-in-law was like, right. She took one look at my mother-in-law, floods of tears. I was like, and she's like, you guys are so too laid back. Honestly, if, you know, she's fallen over and she's hurt herself, I was like, she'd have been bloody okay if you hadn't said anything. But I get told that I'm too laid back. I'm too chilled out. I should be more concerned about my children, especially if they fall over.
I've looked out with my family's opinions that are all pretty chill.
Yeah. Mm. As a pretty chill. I think the only time I've ever been annoyed with family members is my dad loves winding the kids up. He's a proper, like, playful granddad. Yeah. He always was a playful dad. But I'd be like, our son had a little phase of screaming. He'd just scream really loud. And I'd be like, right, don't scream. Like, and it was that kind of thing of, I want to know that if you scream, there's something serious.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, if he couldn't get his sock on, he'd scream.
Or if he'd
scream. So we were trying to get him out of the screaming. And then my dad would just wind him up. He'd go, I'm going to get you. And he'd scream. And I'm there saying, like, hey, don't scream. Like, stop the screaming. And then, like, we'd calm him down. And then my dad would go, I'm going to eat your feet. And he'd scream. And I'm like, Dad, like, you've just seen me calm him down. Can you just, like, help me out a little bit? But I think the only time, really, I've been a bit like, come on, like, help me out. And that's quite trivial. So I think I've done quite well.
It sounds more like your dad was trying to wind you up.
I think, you know,
still. Yeah, of course. Oh, no, my father-in-law, every time we go round, he gives the kids sweets as we're leaving. And so now it gets to the point where the kids are like, if my father-in-law isn't around, they'll go find him before they leave so that they can get the sweets. And like, usually it's like one of those little tiny bags of Haribo or something like that. And I confiscate them all as we get to the car and say, you know, you can have them tomorrow. Because, like, by the time we actually leave the in-laws, it's pajamas are on, bottles at the ready. We know they're going to go to sleep in the car and we'll just put them straight into bed, right? And so he hands them all these Haribos and I confiscate them all off them. But, like, one of the last times he gave them sweets before we left the house, he'd run out of, like, little packets of Haribo. And so he's, like, hunting through the cupboards. And my eldest left with an entire box of party rings.
The sugar.
And so I'm, like, trying to confiscate these party rings before we get in the car. She's like, can't I have one? I'm like, no, you don't realise, but party rings are the gateway biscuit.
Gateway biscuit, wow.
They're awful. They're just covered in icing. I'm quite chill when it comes to everything else, but when it comes to sugar and my kids getting hyper, I'm not down for that.
I see parents getting such a bashing on Instagram and stuff, and like grandparents this and grandparents, like, people really don't, you know, me working so hard to get a routine, and then like the memes of grandparents just coming and smashing it, and they get such a battering off some people. It's annoying when they fill them up with sugar and you've got to deal with it, but I'm like, come on, man. They gave me a pretty decent life. I'll cut them a bit of slack here.
Honestly, my in-laws and my mum are brilliant, and so my husband has to go away for business every now and again, and it's meant that there's been a couple of weekends where I've had all three on my own. And my mother-in-law will ring me and she'll be like, you're right, Lou. How are you doing? What's going on? Are you coming to church? And I'm like, mate, I don't think I'm leaving the house before 10 o'clock. You go to church without me. She's like, all right, then. Are you going to come round? I'm like, yes, I'm coming. So although she's a good 25-minute drive away, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things isn't that far, I will chuck all three kids in the car. I will bring pajamas. I will bring everything we need, and I will head straight to her house, because my sister-in-law lives with my mother-in-law and their kids and everything as well. And the joys of multi-generational living means that my kids will go play with their cousins, and I can actually sit on the sofa and watch something without someone screaming over the top of it, and have a hot cup of tea without forgetting where I've put it and having to microwave it at least 10 times. So yeah, I wouldn't be anywhere near as sane as I am without my in-laws. they're brilliant. I can literally just pick up and go. I know that I can go sit on the sofa for a bit. There's even been, like, I had a really bad night about a year ago, and he'd gone to Vancouver for work, and literally my mother-in-law, I woke up on the sofa and she covered me up with a blanket. They'd all been playing and having a great time, and she'd been coming in and apparently telling the kids to get out because mummy was having a nap.
Oh,
let me sleep
nice
on the sofa for a bit. So no, yeah, definitely grandparents get a bad rap. They really do. But yeah, they're brilliant. But still, no more sweets on the way home, please.
Stop giving them. I love you, but no more sweets.
No more sweets. No, please. Oh, so what have you guys got coming up on the podcast in the next couple of weeks? What's going on with you guys?
That's a very good question.
I wish we knew the answer.
We kind of just make it up as we go along.
I like
we won't lie. We make it up. We barely prepare for our episodes. That's not true. We prepare a little bit, but then we just talk about life. We tend to, like, over Christmas, we try to put out as much content as possible. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of driving going on at Christmas, so we tried to just put out more content than usual, just to keep you sane.
We did a quiz last year, didn't we?
Oh yeah, we did. I don't remember that.
A Christmas quiz.
I'll have to catch up on that one.
We'll do a Christmas quiz again. So yeah, we've got this episode. I don't know when this is going out, but we've got our Instagram hate episode coming out. And then, yeah, we'll just do a couple of little things over Christmas. What we did last year, we set some goals for ourselves as a pod. And also we did like our New Year's resolution. So we'll probably do a bit of catch up over them, play the clips back and see if we've stuck to what our goals were and our resolutions were.
Oh, looking forward to that one.
And then reset them for next year. doing a live show at IKEA was one of them. So we ticked that one off.
Yeah. That is so awesome. Honestly, I think that was brilliant. And I was just like, I really wished I lived closer so I could have come along and actually like been there and met you guys. It just seemed like such a fun night though, watching the episode back and because I like actually watching it. So I will go onto YouTube and I'll watch you guys on your YouTube channel and everything as well.
Wondered who it was.
Yeah, one of those almost 2,000 subscribers that you have to your YouTube channel. Unlike me, I have 6. YouTube came much later than the actual podcast. So.
I'm convinced it's my mum with 1,000 accounts, to be honest.
Yeah, most parents don't have enough time to watch a YouTube video.
No, well, I record these video, and then what I do is my podcast is hosted through Spotify, and so ever since I started in February, all my episodes have been video podcasts, so you can actually watch it on Spotify as well as listening to it. So you've got the option of either or. And then I started the YouTube channel fairly recently because I thought, well, who knows? There might be a person out there who just wants to sit there and watch it. I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced. I definitely have a lot more listeners on Spotify than I do subscribers on YouTube. But
you
then
should
I start equally
showing your wall art.
Ah, there you go.
That your little girl's done.
I will.
The artistry.
I'll do a reel of all the joyful Picasso pictures on my wall. The Instagram as well. My Instagram's all a bit all over the shop. I do loads of random stuff. I see things and feel inspired, and next thing you know, there's a reel about it. It's all a bit weird. So I have like the promo clips from the podcast, and I also have like how to make a Christmas wreath and and all of that sort of stuff. But I suppose for us in the new year, my sister's going to be joining, doing more podcast episodes with me, which is going to be great. And then we've also started like coming up with resources as well. So we've got a couple of like really fun bits up on Etsy. And then we came up with our Christmas planners as well, which were released earlier this year.
I've seen those.
Yeah, honestly, I have been using mine and feeling a lot less overwhelmed by Christmas. and then a bit late to the party with this one, but my eldest was very excited for Elf on the Shelf. I don't know if you guys do this as well at home. No, you've managed to keep steer clear of that one. Please do.
I will never, never do Elf on the Shelf.
It's like I can't imagine just going, I need one more thing to think about.
Honestly, it was an accident. It was an accident. You know when you're like walking around B&M and then random stuff ends up in your basket? It got to the point where we got to the till and we got some Christmas decorations and the baubles and everything. And next thing you know, it's beep, beep. Two elves had been scanned through the till. And I was like, what the hell are these? Why are these here? No.
It's all and part so, of it.
That's it. That's how it starts.
Naughty elf.
The naughty elf had scanned itself through the till and made its way into my bag. And the kids had lobbed a couple of elves in the shopping basket along with all the others took we left with. And yes, Elf on the Shelf just happened in our house. Yeah, and no, not now we can't get out of it. No, but my eldest has got really into writing now. She really struggled with writing and reading and stuff at the beginning. She understood phonics, and when the rules started to change around phonics and actually saying the names of the letters and things, was introduced back into the curriculum in year one. It was like a big shock. I just learnt phonics, and now you want me to learn the real words for these letters? Really? No. But she got pushed at the end of year one to really get into reading, as she did. And now you can't stop her reading writing, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
But she decided, a couple of days before the elf was due to arrive, that it'd be really cool, since Mummy and Auntie Fra had published this book, if she could have her own book for keeping a log of what the elves had got up to in the run up to Christmas. And so I sat down one evening and designed the My Elf Log book and published it on Amazon. And her elf log turned up today, and she's really happy, and she's filled it in a backdated format. So she's
That's
started,
amazing.
so she's filled in all this stuff, and it's got like coloring pages in it and stuff as well. And honestly, she was so quiet when she got home from school. She was so busy writing and coloring in, and I was like, why has no one made one of these before? Because it has kept her so occupied since she got home from school. It was brilliant. So yeah, the elf log will still be available next year, guys. If you do so happen to walk through B&M and accidentally end up with an elf on the shelf, you could keep your kids occupied with that. But yeah, I think our plan for this year, for 2024, is probably to get more amazing guests on and develop some more resources, and maybe hit up IKEA Lakeside and see what happens.
Well, if you do get an IKEA, let us know.
Will do. I'll name drop and say
That's not going to do you any
good. Not going to get you anywhere.
That'll hinder you.
I loved all the videos from your followers and all the stories that came out of that, though, because I was hanging around your Instagram, waiting for all the content to appear. And all your listeners were filming themselves walking around IKEA with their meatballs and then coming to sit in front of the stage and watch you guys speak and everything. And it was just really lovely. It felt like you had this really wholesome community who was all there to support you. And it was just really lovely to see you guys up there doing your thing, and all these people there to support you. And I loved you guys resharing all their stories and everything as well. It was just so fun. What do you do before you go to watch a podcast recording? Oh yeah, I'm gonna go get my IKEA
Get some meatballs. No, it was good, and we didn't know because IKEA dealt with all the ticketing and the bookings,
Oh,
so we
really?
didn't know who was coming, how many people were coming. So when it started to fill, and you'd see people coming like straight from work to have their
That's
tea at
so cool.
IKEA, and then they'd all kind of filter into the sectioned off pod stage area.
We got so nervous we had to go for a walk around IKEA just before it started because we couldn't hack it.
We got lost.
We were so nervous that there'd be no one sat there because there were just people at IKEA. We had no idea, and so we just went for a walk around IKEA, got lost, and then that was it. But no, it was really lovely.
Yeah, it was.
I now
It
want to
was
know
fun.
what department you got lost in. What section was it? Was it the
It was. I
wardrobes?
think it was the market.
I thought it was the rugs myself, but
why.
The last time we went to IKEA, there's always going to be one of our kids who turn around and go, oh, I need to go to the toilet. Just as you're right at the beginning. And so we've got quite good at finding all the shortcuts now to get from one side to the other so that we can run through to the toilets. It's like trying to find the shortcut back, following the weird little blue shortcut map at the top and making sure, okay, so we're at 7, we want to get to 9. How do we do this without having to go through 8 as well? It's stupidly fun, but it feels like a bit like Crystal Maze when you're doing that bit. Like, there's a child desperate for the toilet. You have 2 minutes to get out of section 3. How do we do that? We need to get to 16. How quickly can we do it? You have 2.5 minutes before you get locked in with all the stuffed animals.
Yeah. Don't go to IKEA if you're potty training. That would be...
No, then you really will be shouting, that's not a real loo.
Yeah. What is?
Oh my gosh. Well, no, I'm really excited to see what the new year has in store for you guys, and I will be following closely and I will keep commenting because it's fun. And if I do see any haters, I will make sure to stick up for you because it's your bed too. And no, you're not babysitting.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
No worries. You do what's right for you. Kick that child out. Oh no, it's been fabulous having you guys on, and I'm so glad we finally managed to make this work and actually speak. But yeah, as I said, I'll be following closely, and I will be there waiting in the wings to cheerlead you guys on. But no, you're doing brilliant stuff, and I'm really pleased I stumbled across you guys and have been listening for a while. So thank you for joining me for a very rambly and fun conversation.
thank you. Likewise, we'll be following along and supporting you as well.
Oh, thank you. Brilliant. Well, I will speak to you guys really soon.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Mums, Work and Chaos, please make sure to subscribe on whatever podcasting channel you're listening on at the moment. Or if you'd like to get involved, feel free to email me at mumsworkandchaos@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @mumsworkandchaos. See you then.